Now, without further ado, this is going to be Jeremy's final. Is it final? It's not final, because you're going to come back.
Will you let me come in? Well, I guess it depends on how it goes today.
No, you're gonna be able to come back. We know each other well enough to know that this is not the end of this relationship. So, but for his farewell message for a bit, here's Jeremy.
It's a lot of surreal moments, and, you know, how are you doing? Like, I don't know exactly, but much can happen in a few weeks or a few months, but a lot can happen over the course of 137 months as the pastor of a church. That's somewhere around, I didn't really dig into it, but it's somewhere around 530 or 540 Sunday morning sermons that I've preached. And no doubt, way more Wednesday nights than that. And when we got started here, and there wasn't officially a Wednesday night service, so we rebooted that in May of 2014, and we started in chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, and then up to 1 Kings, so not counting however far into 1 Kings I got, not counting that, and not counting Sunday mornings, just Wednesday nights, that's 486 chapters of the Bible, if my math is correct there. So you're wondering, wait a minute, I was talking to Dan before we started. So in like 10 and a half, 11, however many years that was for Wednesday nights, 486 chapters on Wednesdays and 16 chapters of Romans in 2 years. Like, it's pastor math, leave me alone. But I don't know, over the course of all that time, 20 or 30 wedding services and probably as many memorial services. We added a daughter-in-law to our family during that time and two grandbabies to the foster family. And certainly, and for those of you that have been with us from the beginning, just you've experienced with us a lot of highs and lows along the way, and a lot of heartache, a lot of tough stuff the first few years, and a lot of joy. And I came to the understanding the first few years into pastoral ministry as a senior pastor here, why pastors quit stinking all the time. And like, no, I'm not going to quit. And there's joy in it, and there's growth in it. And over the years, of course, selling an old building and buying a new one. This one is an old cabinet shop, and renovating it, and too many other items to recount, and far more importantly, too many people to thank. Pastor friend of mine, we were chatting, I don't know, a week or so ago, and he asked me, are you going to miss it? Are you going to miss it? And I know he meant, like, are you going to miss the pulpit? Are you going to miss preaching? And like, yeah, kind of, but no, not really, because you're just on to the next thing in life and ministry. But I told him, of course, the thing that Christy and I will miss the most is people. There's just too many names to name, really, in terms of thanks. But I hope that I've thanked you along the way. And I hope there has been enough of that from us for your just graciousness and everything else. And I need to also say, just on behalf of Christy and I, probably most importantly, thank you to our girls who have traveled the world with us. And including the United States of America, we've dragged them to 4 different countries. I mean, Michaela was born in Austria, so we dragged her to the United States of America, but we've sought to serve Jesus in that time. So Leah, Kara, Miki, just thank you guys for being just brave and strong girls and patient. And I need to give a right now for, you know, this transition time too. I mean, first of all, to our pastor, this is a patient guy. There's a lot of, yeah, we've had conversations, so thank you. And just to so many of you for such excessive, humbling, ridiculously open-handed generosity, thank you. Like, you cannot do missions without people supporting you, and thank you for that. And by that, I mean money primarily, but like, thank you for that. And then on top of that, you can't do missions without the prayers, so thank you for that. But the cards, the notes, the questions, because questions, and you're like, oh, are we bothering you? No, because it means you're interested. It means you care. And we have to say, too, as missionaries sent by Calvary Chapel in the Ozarks, we really hope to do the best that we can to represent you well. And I have to say thank you also for the grace and mercy and patience with me, because I appreciate the forgiving category of shoulder shrugs. Like, there's different kind of, like, you know, shoulder shrugs. If you ever drive in Italy, it's not so much shoulder shrugs, but it's like, this is the worst thing you can say to someone with, I need to be polite with this, with hand gestures in Italy primarily. You're like scared what's about to happen. In Italy, if someone's just a knucklehead driver, you do this. It's kind of like, behold the buffoon. You want to make sure that like, does everyone see what I'm seeing here with this, like, and we just kind of shrug our shoulders, you know, like, what are you thinking? But there's other shoulder shrugs, like MJ in Game 1, 1992 against Portland. The guy goes 6-for-6 on three-pointers, 35 points in the first half. And there, you remember the shrug? It's like, I can't explain it either. And it was also an I told you so kind of shrug from Jordan. But then there's the forgiving types of shrugs, and I appreciate those ones. And the forgiving types of shoulder shrugs, and again, if you've been here for any amount of time, it's the, I don't know either, but I know Jeremy, he's just trying hard. Just the poor guy, he's doing the best he can. Let's give him a chance, and what's the worst that can happen? And here we are. I've also learned some good Southern terminology in 11 and a half years as well. There's a lot of it, but in particular, you learn this. Bless him, or bless his heart, is actually good, is actually okay. But when you add well, when it's like, well, bless his heart. That's entire, like, so if you're new to this region, you hear, well, bless his heart, you're like, that's not, they're not, that's less good than you think. But, and so there's too many people to thank for the, well, bless him kinds of shoulder shrugs. But I'm supposed to give a final message, and I wanted to give a final message, and you know, what to say isn't the right question. It's more what not to say. And I could share with you about the importance of loving one another. And actually, our pastor shared on that topic just a little bit the other night on Wednesday night, kind of brought us to the Gospel of John and reminded us of the importance of loving one another. And this is critical stuff. And it's critical that we as a fellowship strive for this and strive for that kind of unity and maintain that. And we could talk about that, but I'm not worried about this, because as I look at this congregation and have the privilege of being the pastor for all these years, just, I'm not worried about it, because it's such a healthy part of our congregation right now. And that's not dependent upon a pastor. And that's not me trying to be cute and humble. That's just, it's a healthy love that's happening right here. So keep it up. Continue that unity of peace that you find in loving one another. So I'm not going to talk about that today. I could probably make some remarks, provide some thoughts about maintaining God's word in a hallowed place in your own life as individuals. But I know that the word of God will be preached from this sermon, from this pulpit, and sermons for years and years to come. Our pastor will insist upon that, so I don't think that's something I need to highlight this morning, so I won't. I could probably take some time and try to provide a reminder of God's great love for you and for me, as demonstrated and evidenced by our Savior Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. His great love seen in full measure and then some. But I'm pretty sure, again, I just spent the last 2+ years in Romans talking about the gospel. So you can visit the website if you'd like to go to those studies. And maybe today would be a good day to reiterate the reality that we need to be alert to the world around us. Like, I don't know if you watch the news, and maybe you shouldn't, because it's all kind of a train wreck, but why would we be surprised by that? But the thing is, it's like we're that much closer to the return of King Jesus and just how perilous these times are. And so, therefore, we should all get in our bunkers and hide away from the world, right? No, that's not the right answer. It should be, we need to be more ready to proclaim the gospel to a lost and dying world. We could talk about that, but I don't think I want to talk about that today. I could have you turn one more time to the book of Romans, maybe Romans chapter 12 and the necessity of the body being the body. And you heard it in announcements today. There's things to do here at the church, and the things to do here at the church. It's not simply that our new pastor will need your help, but all of us need this. And again, for Christy and I, we are going to need you as a church, to be the church here in Rogers, working hard with one another to maintain spiritual health and to cultivate further spiritual strength. Like, we, the body, we need that. We need one another for that. And it'd be a great message from Romans 12, but we're not going to talk about that today. I think what I'd like to share today is sort of the basics of Christianity as believers, as the church, what we are to do and what we are to be, and what does that look like? And really, it's just two simple concepts. I'm going to have you turn to a couple different passages here in just a moment, but two simple concepts. I'm just going to give you two simple words that are brutal words in a lot of way, but that's Christianity. Christianity is not for the faint of heart. And these two simple concepts have been a great help to me over the years as a Christian primarily. This isn't like ministry kind of stuff necessarily, though it's obviously really helpful for that. But just as a Christian, just not Pastor Jeremy stuff, but a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ. And two simple concepts that lend themselves to a better understanding of basic foundational discipleship and the Bible's regular theme. You guys know I love to preach on this. The Bible's regular theme of pilgrimage through this side of eternity. So I'm going to have you turn to two places today in these two passages for these two concepts. The first one will be 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And the second one will be John chapter 12. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4. End of the chapter. I'm just going to read this going into chapter 5. Verse 16, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul the Apostle says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man," and notice the contrast, and I've talked about this passage so many times, but the contrast, "even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is not perishing, but instead it's being renewed day by day. Because," verse 17, "our light affliction," do you ever feel afflicted? And does it ever feel light? "But our light affliction, which is but for a moment," does it ever feel momentary? "Is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal," not light, but "a weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but instead at the things which are not seen, for," or "because the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent," chapter 5, verse 1, "is destroyed, we have a building from God." A tent? Temporary. You don't live in a tent for the rest of your life, at least in most cultures. But a building. It's a building from God. It's a house not made with hands. It's eternal in the heavens. And then he says in verse 2, and you can keep going on your own, it's a great study in itself, "but in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven." We long for that. And this has always, for me, provided some, I'm not exactly sure, I was kind of working hard to try to put this into words, how to explain this, but it's provided some grit for me. Like something really tangible, something gritty. I don't know if some of you guys know this, I don't know if you all do, but I kind of grew up riding skateboards, and on top of a skateboard you put grip tape. And grip tape is grippy not because it's sticky, it's grippy because it's gritty. It's basically sandpaper that you stick to your skateboard, and that allows the texture of it, kind of allows your feet to not fly off the skateboard. Gravity helps that in different ways when you're trying different... But it's this kind of thing, it's this texture of this passage that helps me to grasp this concept a bit more succinctly. And this is this basic concept, and this is the first of these two things on my list, is having the ability to recognize that which is, here's the one word, temporary. Having the ability to recognize that which is temporary. Especially as Paul does here in this passage, especially in comparison to that which is eternal. They're different. Most of you know my feelings about cold weather. Don Golden knows my feelings about cold weather. Temporary is a word that I literally, and the literal use of the word literal, I literally do this. When I call this word to mind, temporary. When I'm outside of my car in some of our colder Arkansan winters, when it's outside of my car pumping gas. In New Jersey, they do it for you. Like, $20, please, and you roll up your window. But here, you pump gas, you know, when it's 1 degree Fahrenheit, and like, what I tell myself is, this is not going to be my existence forever. Spring will come. Summer will be here soon enough. I can't wait for 95 degree weather. Thank you very much. But even in this pumping gas in my car, I'm shaking. I'm not going to be this cold forever. In a moment, I'm going to return to the, you know, the relative warmth of the inside of my car. And I won't be this cold in just a moment. It's silly, but I hate cold that much that I have to remind myself, this is temporary. Hey, church, this is all temporary. Heaven is heaven. And it's a great and important aside, but it's a truthful one. Not everyone is going to heaven. There's work to do in the here and now for the great there and then. It's so much of what Paul told his friends in Colossae. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. He said to set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. And then he says, for you died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. Then in Colossians, he says, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you'll also appear with him in glory. So heaven is heaven and everything else. Again, we're pilgrims just passing through. It's actually found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we read we are ambassadors of Christ, representing him and his kingdom in the there and then while we're in the here and now. It's in Philippians chapter 3 where we discover that our citizenship is in heaven. And so everything else and being able to identify that which is temporary, church, if we're going to be the church, we need to be able to live for that which is eternal. I think this is part of the greatest sermon ever preached. You're familiar with it, I trust, and I'm sure you'll be studying it soon. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Does it sound familiar to you? Where he said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But that's instead of that, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. And then Jesus said this, and you're familiar with this statement he makes in the Sermon on the Mount, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There's things that are temporary, and let them be that. Not everyone will be a missionary, but at the risk of sounding, I don't know, cliche or whatever, everyone, every believer, every follower of Jesus Christ, not everyone's a missionary, but everyone's on mission. Or we should be. Heaven is heaven, everything else falls into the temporary category. And again, even at the risk of turning in your Bibles to the book of Romans, everything else is temporary, even Romans chapter 8, even our sufferings. Didn't Paul say this? Like, yeah, he did. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And we're not there yet, so it's hard, but we have to be able to identify that which is temporary. Secondly, basic discipleship teaches me, and this is from our Lord Jesus himself. I mentioned, turn over to the Gospel of John in John chapter 12. Basic discipleship teaches me, and again, this is from him, his words, lived by him, modeled by him. Basic discipleship teaches me that death is worth it. So the first word is temporary. The second word, this is your happy thought for a Sunday morning. Is this your final message? Yeah, it is. Death. So John chapter 12, pick it up in verse 23. This is the middle of a conversation. But Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. If you know your Bible, you know that the means by which he would be glorified would be the crucifixion. Most assuredly, he says, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Basic discipleship teaches me that death is worth it. And it also teaches me, basic discipleship does, that the price tag for fruitfulness is so simple. It's death. I'd like to have a fruitful Christian life. Would you now? Yeah, what's required? Death and a burial. Of who? You. And the price tag for fruitfulness is the thing we despise the most. The thing that we most strongly resist and most thoroughly avoid in this life. It's death. But Jesus comes along and says, oh no, actually, death is the thing. It's the key to all of this. Death, if you'd like to be a fruit bearer, well, it's the requirement. And it's death to self, giving way to others. It's Philippians chapter 1 into Philippians chapter 2, where we read of the mind of Christ, which would have us not only look out for our own interests, but the interest of others, that the mind of Christ that would esteem others as better than you. This is not complicated, but that price tag, death, it's rough. Give way to others. Yield to others. Here's a fun word that we don't like, and back to traffic. Relent. You at four-way stops. I don't bother. This is confession time for me. At a four-way stop, I usually pull up at the same time. And I just wave to them to make them feel better. Like, yeah, I just let that guy go. Like, thank you so much for, I'm not waiting for you. Like, did I just say that from the pulpit? I'm so sorry. Don't try this at... I'm telling you to put others first. Four-way stops, it's... No. I saw this yesterday, this beautiful and touching thing at the farewell party. And thank you guys also for that. It was just really... We had such a great time. But this beautiful thing that we saw, Tony and Paula Gonzalez. I don't know if they're here or... You guys are here. And they are OU people. And they were wearing Razorback gear. I mean, that's death to self, right? That's love. I think if we had called the Hogs, that might have been a bridge too far for them, but like, they would have left in their holy OU dignity, but I digress. Death to self. How about this? Die to your opinions. Die to the idea that you always have to have an opinion. It's actually so freeing. It's like this super freeing thing. Knowing that you don't always have to have one, and you don't have to pretend to be an expert in everything. I can't tell you how freeing that is. It's another shrug. I actually don't know. It's so freeing. You don't always have to be right, because I don't know if you know this, and maybe you disagree with this because you maybe think you're right all the time, but do you know why you don't have to think you're right all the time? Because you're not right all the time. It's crazy stuff today. Embrace the radical idea that you might actually have to rethink things, and you might actually, in your great humility, have something to learn. It's like the ship which was sailing through dense fog one night. There was another light in the distance, kind of faint, inconsistent, this light. And so the ship radioed into the distance in the darkness. Potential for collision. Change course 10 degrees to the north. To which the reply came, negative, change your heading 10 degrees to the south. The captain, of course, unhappy with the response, issued his reply, I am a captain in the U.S. Navy. Change your course 10 degrees to the north. Collision course is imminent. The reply, captain, I am a sailor first class. Collision course is imminent. Change your heading 10 degrees to the south. Captain Borderline, irate at this point, fired off his response, this is a battleship. Change your course immediately. The radio crackled again. I urge you to change your course. This is a lighthouse. With that, the captain changed course 10 degrees. That's really the last illustration I'm going to give. Give way, yielded, even when you are right. And be good at being others first. Be good at being others. And I'd love for our church to grow. Good, then die to self. Wait, the burial? Yeah, be buried. I want to be fruitful. Amazing. I want to be like Jesus. Well, let's live like Jesus. He left his home in heaven, came here to earth, lived a perfect, sinless life. And like the seed here in John chapter 12, died. And in so doing has brought many sons and many daughters into glory. He speaks of being a servant and being honored. And he talks in other places of being first. If you want to be first, well, you have to be last. And we don't think it works this way, but it does. And it's all worth it. as a seed, dead, buried, fruit is produced. How about this way? From our choice to yield, fruit is yielded. Like, church be the church, and that means it's up to you. Well, I don't want to die. Cool. Then don't. Live to yourself and don't think that you're going to bear fruit, because you just won't. I'm a follower of Jesus. Neat. Die. And no one likes death. We want to live for this life. We're packing up our house. It's like, how much stuff can you stuff? We want to live this way, but the way to life is death. The way to joy is by living for others, and it's all worth it. Things that are temporary, don't let those things dominate your heart or your mind, because if you do, they dominate your life. Again, it's Jesus' parable of the soils and the seed, isn't it? You know the parable, the seed which fell on thorns, the thorns. Remember how Jesus compared this to our hearts? The thorns, which he said represented three things: the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and then he just throws in this general statement, the desires for other things. That type of soil, that type of heart, choked the word, and it became, do you remember how he said this? It became unfruitful. I'd rather live a life that's understanding that which is temporary doesn't compare to that which is eternal. I'd rather live a life that's willing to say, yeah, death is worth it. Death to self for the benefit and blessing of others, it's worth it. So seriously, church, be the church. It's worth the price. As brutal and as unhappy as that is, this is basic Christianity. There's no resurrected life without a crucified life. So as followers of Jesus, here's your genius statement from me for the day. As followers of Jesus, let's follow Jesus. As the church, since we are that, well, church, let's be the church. Thank you for the honor of all of this, and thank you for allowing me to be your pastor these past 137 months. Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you that you gave us not just the words, but you gave us the example. You died. You literally died. They took you and they crucified you. They nailed you to that cross. And they took your dead body and they placed it in that borrowed grave. And on the third day, you rose again. And you would speak to us now through your word, just as you spoke to your disciples and to the apostles before you were crucified. Pick up your cross and follow me. And Lord, that we would see here in Rogers, Arkansas, and beyond, fruit. The simple and difficult price tag is death. And like a grain of wheat, unless it dies, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. May we be that type of people that's really good at yielding, that's really good at dying, and really, really good at recognizing that the temporary things do not compare to that which is eternal. It's just so much better. It's infinitely so. May we live for your kingdom, not ours. In Jesus' name.
Have a couple speakers come up here in a minute, and I did not prepare any remarks because I did not put myself on the list of speakers, but I'm a pastor, and so I always have words. I just want to say what a blessing your family has been to our family. There is just so much that goes on in the behind the scenes of a church that you guys just don't even see. And just in the last year, as Jeremy and I have talked before, we've always been kind of peers more than, you know, mentor-mentee type of relationship. That's just always the relationship we've had. I always tried to take off, you know, whatever I could from his plate. But there's just so much that goes into running a church in the day-to-day operations. And they are just such faithful servants to you guys. I'm never complaining, never upset about where God's brought them from across the world to Arkansas. They are a huge blessing to this church and a huge blessing to our family. And I am excited about your guys' next move. I'm excited about what he has for each of you girls. talked to each one of you about that, and we were going to keep praying for you guys as long as we live. So with that, I want to call up our first speaker, Mr. Ron. Oh, Linda's going to come too. Good.
He'll be ready for me to be down here in just a second. We've been going here since the late 90s, I guess. She roped me into going to a California church, which made me roll my eyes because I'm pretty much of a hillbilly. Jeremy and Christy came along, city boy from California, and my God, she's from Jersey. So literally nothing in common. But first of all, figured out he was a really good Bible teacher, really, really good, which stands to reason because he taught Bible teachers. He also turned out to be a really good friend. Got on the board fairly quickly, and there was a rough patch or two, but I'm stealing this from somebody. When God made the boy, he left out the quit, or he'd have been gone. Really proud of you for that. Thank you for the friendship, and always, I knew you weren't going to retire from here. Every conversation always turned to missionaries. And then there was the first trip to New Zealand, and I kind of went like this. And then there was a trip to New Zealand or a trip to, I can't remember where, to a conference. And I thought, maybe we ought to pick. And he said, oh, well, New Zealand. And I went, oh, okay, duh. So not completely surprised, guys.
It's his fault.
Sorry. But going to miss you, but wouldn't try to stop you because you're doing what you're supposed to do. So God bless you, as they say.
Bless your heart.
We're supposed to think about what we remember of you. I remember the first Sunday, it was snowing like the Dickens, and we got to get from Bella Vista. So I told Ron, I said, you think maybe we better stay home? Weather, it was a mess. And he says, of course we're not staying home. We have to be there for the Fosters. So the rest of it from there to here is kind of a blur. But something came to me yesterday. There's a passage in the 6th chapter of John where it mentions that at this time, many of the disciples turned and left and followed Jesus no more. And Jesus looks at the 12 and he says, will you also leave? And Simon Peter said, Lord, where will we go? You have the words of eternal life. And as hard as it was for you guys in the beginning, I know it was tough. You didn't leave because what you were saying was, Lord, where are we going to go? You have called us to Arkansas. You have the words of eternal life. So you stayed. As for this leaving, I am just as sure that he called you to New Zealand as he called you here. It's going to be different with you gone, although obviously God has given us another pastor. So we let you go with that. And I love that even in the bulletin this morning, this is the most beautiful farewell. Church be the church. And that is what you have given us to go ahead and do the work that remains here. So we love you, and we are going to miss you like crazy.
Sorry. I had to write mine out because I knew I'd be crying. I first met the Fosters. Sorry. I first met the Fosters as a broken kid, 19-year-old, in a tiny village in Hungary. they took me in and quickly became my foster family. And when they announced that they were leaving the Bible college, I started joking, I'm just going to follow you guys wherever you go. One time I said that, and Christy said, well, I hope you like Arkansas. And I'd never been here, but thought it sounded fine. So after praying, I eventually followed them after I finished my time at the Bible college. And over the past 13 years, Jeremy and Christy and the kids have been my family, my friends, my teachers, mentors, counselors, pastor, worship leader. They encouraged me in some of the hardest times in my life and consistently pointed me back to Jesus when everything seemed impossible. One of my favorite Jeremyisms that he often shared with us interns at the college is safety third. But another probably more appropriate one here is repetition reinforces. And the repetition of seeing the fosters follow the Lord in faith has reinforced my own faith and helped that scared kid grow into the person I am today. I hope that the repetition of hearing the impact that you've had on people's lives reinforces just how loved and appreciated you guys are.
My Bible, but I was going to read from you from Romans. I am a recovering foster addict, and I'm getting over this. I love this family so much. When they first came to visit us to... hi, I'm Nicole, by the way. When they first came to visit us, I immediately fell in love with their family and was looking forward to them coming here more than anything. I was really looking forward to just getting that teaching that Jeremy gave to us the first day when he was here. And I've really learned so much. I'm a much different person than I was before having such a good teacher and good friends and sweet babies in my life. And I will miss you every single day, and I look forward to our time in heaven together. We will always support you in everything. We will always be here for you, no matter what. And likewise to the new guy.
I gotta follow that. Okay. When Josh asked us to do this, I had to start thinking back, and it is really hard to go back over 11 years and pick out one thing that, like, oh no, this is the moment that encapsulates an entire relationship, decade, time in your life. And I remember the first day I ever met Jeremy. I was working at a hotel, and our interim pastor, Bill Holdridge, was bringing him over. And I remember the first day I met Christy, and just how unbelievably wide-eyed and at how hickified this place is. And but man, she barreled in. It was great. And I was like, maybe I should take this moment. It was like, I remember this time when Jeremy was just, he was like listening to me drone on about one of my favorite subjects. And he just got this glassy look of like, I have no idea what Jake is talking about, but I'm just going to listen and be there. And I did the exact same thing to him when he was talking about symbols. And but I took all of that. And there's this really great poem by Mary Weems. And it is, how do you measure the life of a man? And if you have a chance, look it up, read it. But one of the final lines in it is how do you measure the life of a man? Is it by grace received or grace given? And that's all I can say to Jeremy and Christy. Of all the grace that you have given me, of all the grace I have seen you give other people, thank you for everything that you have done. Thank you.
I'll make it through this. So my wife and I are here because of Jeremy and Christy. I started attending Calvary Chapel in Vineland, New Jersey, Christy's dad's home church, which, happy birthday, Frank, if you're watching, sir. So I have known of the Fosters for 19 years, right? Unfortunately, we met about a month after that. When Jeremy and Christy were coming off the mission field, we were praying hard in New Jersey for you guys to come back to New Jersey. And we were very disappointed when you came to Arkansas. But God had other plans. So we got a fantastic pastor and Bible teacher here, mentor and friend, and a fantastic family to go along with it. This is going to be more than 2 minutes. I'm sorry. And I'm going to try not to cry. So, Jeremy, you have been there for me always. Thank you. When I'm up here skipping 16ths and I am off time like I was this morning, you've been the one in the drum cage pounding on that kick drum to keep me on time. I'm going to miss that. I'm going to miss you saying, Nate, you dropped another beat there. Okay. I'm going to miss our long conversations about cymbals. Right, Jake? And the difference between ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta and ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. Okay, I'm gonna miss all those conversations, long conversations at the fire pit, just talking, fellowshipping together. Your Bible teaching, fantastic. I have learned so much about grace through you and your teaching. Thank you. You're a fantastic Bible teacher, and I won't ever forget you. Christy, I have learned so much serving under you. You as my head worship leader, and then passing that baton on to me. Thank you for everything you've taught me about leading worship, and then also about vocals. Christy is a vocalist. I am not. Fantastic. You have helped me so much. You have encouraged me and coached me in ways that you will never know. So thank you so much. Girls, stop. Leah, I have never seen my son attached to anyone like he has to you, okay? Owen is a very affectionate boy, but he has never had a friend like you, and he loves you so much. Thank you so much for being there for all of my kids, especially for Owen. We thank you so much. It has been a pleasure serving with you. You are a great piano player and a fantastic vocalist, and you have always put me to shame, okay? And even though Owen likes you more than he likes me, I still love you. Kara, I have never seen my girls attached on anyone like they have to you. Especially Emma. She needed you in her life. Thank you so much for serving with me. When I'm up here leading worship and I look back there and I see you singing your heart out, and I see you raising your hands, you're one of the people I look to when I go, is this sink in it? Yes. They're worshiping. Thank you. I'm going to miss you. It's been a pleasure serving with you, even though you've bring glitter in my house. I will miss the glitter. I can't believe I said that, but I will miss it. Thank you for being there for my kids and my family. Mickey, it's been a pleasure serving with you as well. It's been so much fun having a cello up here. I've really enjoyed just serving with you. You've done sound for me. You've done lyrics for me, too. And you've been faithful. You've taught my kids back in children's ministry, even though you didn't want to play this month. Thank you. I love you. But you were serving, so there's that. Foster family, thank you so much for being the family that we did not have. You have been there for us, my wife and I both, my kids, and we can't thank you enough. We love you guys so much. So excited about what God's going to do with you guys in New Zealand. They are blessed to have you guys coming. So, and Leah, I mean, good luck in New York. It's New York, but you know, that's all I have. So, thank you guys.
Yeah, second service, you know, when you do things like this, it's never quite the same. You know, they're going to miss out, but that's okay. Why don't you all stand, and can I get the Foster family to come up here? Maybe get a couple guys, come up here, and let's lay hands on them. I'm just going to pray because I think there's too many people crying at this point. Lord, we just want to lift up the Foster family. You have called them. Well, let's back up. You called them to Arkansas and used them mightily. So much in the lives of all of us, Lord. We've been blessed, and man, it feels like a part of us is being ripped away just with them leaving. But we're excited, Lord. We're excited that each day that we wake up, we get to serve you. And they get to wake up and look forward to New Zealand, Lord, to a whole new chapter of their life. And Lord, it has been a journey to get even to where they're at today. Just with visas and applications and dogs and boxes that have to be the right size and just going to different consulates, Lord, it's daunting. And as Ron said, there's no quit in this boy. So, Lord, they have stepped forward every step of the way to follow what you're calling them to do. Lord, bless that. Bless them. Lord, the work that you have for them in New Zealand, I know they don't even know exactly what that is yet. And that's okay. Lord, show them step by step, moment by moment, what you have for them. Lord, for Jeremy and Christy, knit them together by your Holy Spirit, Lord. Don't let any division come in the move and in the transitions and in the uneasiness and the uncertainty. Lord, help them to be on the same page as they move forward. Help them to have abundant grace for one another, the same kind of grace they've had for this fellowship. It's so easy in a marriage that we don't give grace to each other sometimes. So, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, have grace for one another. Lord, for the girls, Leah going to NYU, Lord, keep her safe in New York first and foremost. But, Lord, use her in New York. You know, as much as she's getting an education, we pray that your gospel message goes forth in that campus, in her roommates, and anybody that she interacts with, Lord. We pray for Michaela and Kara as they go to New Zealand that you would bring clarity to their next steps and their next moves. We pray that they would just be those helping hands to lift up their mom and dad's arms when they become weak and weary. But for their next chapter in life, Lord, show them exactly what it is that you're calling them to do. Use them mightily in New Zealand and give them the vision for what's next even for them. It's so awesome being young and not having to know what the next thing is. I pray that they cherish it while they have it. Lord, we love this family, but more importantly, you love this family. You love them more than we could. But Lord, the body of Christ is just that, the body of Christ. And it feels like we're losing a piece of ourselves. But that's okay, because we know that goodbye is not forever. As Jeremy just taught us, to be a servant is to expect death, but the reward is eternal life. And Lord, because we believe in your Son as our Savior, we get to fellowship with these guys for all eternity. So the drop in the bucket that this life is, Lord, it's nothing. It's absolutely nothing we get to spend forever with each other. When we get sad, when we get depressed, help us to remember forever. Thank you, Lord, and we ask all this in your glorious name. Amen.
Amen.
You're all dismissed.